This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Friday. Yeah, the end of the first week of proper work for some people. Next week's actually the first week of proper work for most people. Those lazy bastards getting back to work next week, and even some after that. And then they're going to be those people who have planned on purpose with strategy and cunning aforethought that'll take some time off in February while the rest of us are like chock full of work, and they'll go, oh yeah, this is when we booked our holiday.
Good travel deals in February.
Yeah, that's right. Clever planning. Anyway, it's Friday. Hope you're ready for a good day today. There's loads of stuff on the menu for this morning. Ben is here, Leanne is here, Hello. And Sia is here. It is Friday, so it's no news, no politics, no angry stuff Friday. We love it.
Oh, do we also have to agree on no angry stuff? The world is always angry.
Is there a funny noise? There is, right?
Yeah.
Is it your bowels?
Hang on. There, it's Sia's microphone. No, it's Sia's microphone.
It's Sorry, often Sia's
can you move
microphone.
To this one? Yeah, that's such a buzz. Listen to that. Sounds like your microphone has been connected to hell. Is that better? Try that one.
Oh,
perfect.
Right.
Yeah, hundreds.
Get my there we go.
100%. That's much better.
Oh, the feng shui of the room is off now.
No, we'll get used to it. It's better. It's more important that we don't have our audience annoyed by this. On your microphone.
I don't know how to fold my legs. Anyway,
yeah, see, where you're sitting now is that awkward kind of V. I used to sit there, and it played havoc with my life.
It made Ben unhappy. It gave him that ruined back. Yeah. So we'll change it for you for Monday. But
that's how I tilted my pelvis sitting there.
My gunt is out. Anyway.
You don't have a gunt.
Guys, we haven't spoken weight since December.
Hang
a second. You know what a gunt is?
Yeah, a little right... My little upper here.
You've got a little paunch, yeah. It's a little paunch.
Well, being the size -7 that I am, I'm not obese now, but I can feel that I'm slightly plumper after December.
I went out for dinner last night with some friends. We do this regular dinner, and I didn't think about it. I just ordered stuff. And then afterwards, driving home, I was like, oh, I feel so fat. And I couldn't find my car.
What?
Well, it's the Mall of Africa, which is the most confusing.
Yeah.
Well. They've got 223 entrances. They actually have like entrance 27 and 29 and 35. And you're like, how is this possible?
I looked at one of the maps that they've got, and it actually had to rotate itself. Yeah. I felt carsick looking at it.
Yeah.
It's just so big.
It's ridiculous. And there's some nice places there. I mean, it's a good shopping mall. Yeah,
the general eating area is very nice too.
And also, I suppose if you go there when it's not like crazy Christmas shopping, then it's very pleasant. But parking, I don't know how. I never know where to park to get close to the shop I'm trying to get to. So inevitably, you end up walking for miles. Mm. And then there were three of us, so we were walking to where the other two had parked. And I said, oh, well, don't worry, I'll just go down the stairs here. It should be where my car is. Well, I walked around. You know when you're pressing your button and you're hoping your car's lights are going?
Yeah. That bad.
Nothing. I thought, oh, Jesus. For a minute there, you panic. And then you paid your parking ticket and you think, how long have I got on this thing?
15 minutes normally.
Right. Yeah. So I'm walking around, and then eventually I just gave up, went back and retraced my steps and found my car. Because I've got I'm not bad. I've got a good sense of direction. Ugh. Was I walking around like an idiot? Promise you, 14, 15 minutes at least.
Oh, no.
You know, I've found that it helps Googling the shop you're going to or the restaurant and trying to park as close to it as
you
can that way.
But do they tell you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not far off.
Well, that place has got so many different parking areas.
It's too much. Up the ramp, down the ramp.
But if you're going just brazenly ordering food, you should be walking.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
you shouldn't be looking for these strategic parking things.
Moral right, Ben.
Yeah.
Well, I did. Don't worry. I walked that meal off.
I find that if you are already fat, then you don't feel Christmas at all. It's actually quite refreshing.
So should we all just rather gain weight now?
Yes.
So that we feel better
I
about
I can
ourselves
recommend come. That personally.
It works for you.
Yeah.
And when Christmas comes, you won't care. You'd be like, oh, well, I'm fat already.
You don't feel anything.
Right. I had way too many rich and creamy meals over December. It was like big sauces and creamy stuff and tons of dessert. And, you know, like when you're visiting people as well over the festive season, sometimes that's all a day is. You wake up and you go and have brunch at so-and-so's house. Then you go and you meet up with friends for lunch. Then you go for this one for drinks. And then that turns into a braai and you think, wow, I'm like a professional eater today.
I have no friends and I can do all of that.
All is quite the upshot there, Leanne.
Leanne is, she told us on Tuesday that she's going for this sleep apnea diagnosis and she's either going to have to wear this machine that puts a pipe down her throat every night or the machine that puts the pipe down her throat and does it both ways.
Yeah.
So that's her future is so sexy. Look like one of those patients in the ICU for the rest of her life every time she sleeps. All right, you know, take some dude home after a really romantic dinner and she'll be like, yeah, you can come to my house. And then they'll get into bed together and she'll be like, I just need to connect my sleeping Jesus.
Well, and then you know what? It's karma because I took a guy home once who I had just met. And he said, we were kissing and, you know, doing all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And he said, he rolled over and he said, sorry. And he took his teeth out.
Oh, no. You're kidding. Oh, you're kidding. Oh, my God. Didn't you run immediately?
No. I was tired. So I stayed.
Oh.
But, yeah, I mean, would you rather have the sound of a machine or me snoring? So this sound versus you choose.
But hang on a second, Leanne. So is this to find out stuff or is this how you're going to live the rest of your life? On
the rest
machine?
Of her life?
It's to find out stuff.
Okay.
No, Ben, I went for the test to find out stuff.
Oh.
Now I have to live the rest of my life on a machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
And but how's it going to affect the cats?
They shouldn't be sleeping in my room anyway.
Oh.
There's something called sleep hygiene, which they cover with you as well.
What's unhygienic about your sleep?
The fact that I have four cats on my face and a dog on my feet.
Okay.
I mean, you figure that one out.
There's going to be some man who's going to fall in love. I'm telling you, he'll put up with that shit. People put up with weird things.
Yeah, Gord. Gord's always staking his claim for Leanne on a weekly basis.
Really?
Do you not see the WhatsApp group?
He probably snores just like you, so, I mean...
Mm. Yeah, do you not read the show WhatsApp group?
I do. He said his wick burns bright for me or something.
Oh. Yeah, and that's, as
I
you
think
know,
that
a
was
metaphor.
A typo. That was a typo.
I think you meant dick.
Yeah. Just bring you up to speed, girl.
hang a second. When is Gord coming back? Because, you know, last year he was in and out of death. So he disappears, don't tell me this travel thing because I don't buy it.
I think he's back on Wednesday.
Because we just spoken about overindulgence in Christmas.
You think he overdid it completely and now he's on his way out?
And now he's talking about I'm overseas. That's very convenient.
Oh.
All right. Well, Ben, you know what? We'll have to do some investigation. But I thought he was coming back next Wednesday.
You'll have to set us up on a day that we're both here.
All right. So first thing this morning, we got to get into some stuff that's happening. And remember, because it is... No Politics Friday.
Yay. Hey.
Don't talk about any of that serious shit today. And if you want some of that, go for it. You knock yourself out. You can go and listen to horrible, nasty, ugly, negative and depressing news on some other channel. That's not what we do on a Friday. Sorry. We're here to make you feel better. But there is a little bit of news in terms of stuff that's going on that everybody's talking about. First of all, this is for Sia. It came through from somebody on WhatsApp. Hey, Sia, can you please help us understand what happened with Nomuzi last night? Is this another Jub-Jub-esque DUI incident? All right, so apparently, this is what we know. Nomuzi, who is a well-known TV and
rapper.
She's a rapper, she's a TV personality, she's all of these things. She was driving and Instagramming live by the looks of things.
So that's the live streaming component of Instagram. So you see everything in real
time. The story part of it. So... She's busy Instagramming live, and then suddenly there's an accident.
Mm.
Well, that's what it looks like. That's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, because as well, she was in the car driving, yeah. and the phone is faced towards her. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, there you hear a bit of a screech, and the phone flips over, and you see shattered glass.
Oh, my God.
So one would put two and two together and say that's the windscreen shattered that you see. And this was late last night, and that's all we know thus far. Some people are hinting that it might be like an Arrive Alive campaign, but if it is, it's kind of a bit twisted, the rollout or execution of it. Remember how like a few weeks ago, everyone was up in arms about that Johannesburg's first drive-through bar thing, and that turned out to be a drive-dry initiative. But with this, yeah, it's scary.
And you feel like you can be the star that
Malaysia. This is her. She's on Instagram Live.
I need you to come out. So if you know any singers, dancers, rappers, DJs who can sing, dance, and rap.
Jesus. I seriously hope this is not a campaign. It's ugly.
You know what? There was an echo.
Gives me such a...
There's a bit of sound editing in there.
You think so?
The sound, the first thing that comes up, the sound's too good.
Yeah.
This is rappers, DJs who can sing, dance, and rap.
Yeah, I mean, what did she crash in a cave? You know?
Right at the end when that hubcap kind of touches the... That's the studio hubcap.
Do you think so? I hope so. Look, I hope it is from the point of view that I hope she's not hurt, because who would want to have anyone go through
exactly.
this? But it gives me the chills, because I've been in accidents before, and it's just the horrible sound. It's a horrible
noise that stays with you for months afterwards.
Jesus.
Well, this is why I think if it is a campaign, the execution is off, because her friends and family were genuinely not in the know. There was her cousin who took to Twitter as well, saying, I haven't heard from her. And also a friend of hers who then went onto Instagram Live herself. I don't know where she was, but she was basically crying on social media saying, if it's a joke, it's a sick joke, but tell us now. We need to understand what's going on. And then with further investigation, people went onto Nomuzi's boyfriend's Instagram and they saw that they were having dinner together last night. So then now people are saying, did she drink? And something might have happened at dinner. Oy. Because the boyfriend's last story was of Nomuzi going into the car and she was sort of sulking. And she looks slightly out of it. But, you know, you don't want to act like a whole investigator.
Oh, so it might even be real.
The facts, yeah.
If you go onto the Google, apparently she's fine and she's alive according to Town Press.
Oh, really?
Town Press?
Well, I mean, like, always try to look for three stories in life, so yeah, that's the rule.
Not even City Press. I've never heard of Town Press.
It's a smaller paper.
Town Press is it's like Town Lodge is the worst version of City Lodge.
It's printed on a notepad.
and here we have
handwritten out every morning.
And here we have Village Press basically saying the same thing.
Oh, even smaller.
No, I don't know. It's just one story so far.
Sure. But like, there we go.
It is. It'd be hugely tragic if it is real, but...
Look,
I'm with Leanne there. The sound, the first impression of the sound was it was a little bit too good.
And there are people who are dumb enough to Instagram Live while they're driving. Mm. I've seen a lot of this.
Hate it.
It makes me very uncomfortable.
Hate it. Because whether the story is real or whether it is a campaign, the bigger message is just don't do it. Yeah. It's just not smart. And there are so many people who do it, whether it is on your own social media or whether you are stuck in traffic and just look to your left and to your right, how many people are singing in their cars and they're on social media. It's like, you can't.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it will take for all of us to learn this, but...
Thank you, young Sia.
There you go. Sia keeping us on top of things. Hey, what is that terrible, depressing song that played before you guys started the show? I don't know.
She was some
girl who's
some
like
dreadfully
slitting.
Upset woman. But this is the thing that the system here is.
Did you
actually
say Jewishly upset?
Dreadfully upset.
Oh.
What people need to understand is that the system here is actually alive. So we put songs into it, and then it basically creates its own songs and plays it wants to.
It does whatever it wants.
So we have certain songs that can never be deleted, or we try to delete them and they come back.
Doesn't help.
It's the haunting of the studio.
It really is. We have no control whatsoever.
I mean, that woman doesn't even exist. Basically, the system's channeling someone's thoughts.
Yeah, it's an actual dead. It's a dead person, and then and they enter the system, and the system keeps them alive. It's like one of those sci-fi horror movies.
Yeah. So we don't even have a title to lie about.
So here I got this email yesterday. We had a hell of a discussion between Pumi Mashiko and Canton Pele about the whole Sia Khaleesi debacle. And Ryan from Berlin has chimed in. He said, quick response to the whole Sia Khaleesi debacle. I don't get all the debating around this issue and whether he is right or wrong. The real issue here is that the quota system would not exist if the government actually did its job. That's obvious, I know. All the quota system really is a scapegoat for the failure of the ANC to provide a platform for all South Africans to develop their sporting skills from a young age. Like most situations where they don't deliver and they need a quick fix solution, the quota system is one of them. South Africa's energy is completely in the wrong space at the moment, and it's amazing how the government gets it right every year to completely fool the public. Yeah. I think South African sportsmen and women should use the platforms they have to expose the government for what they are and how they're stuffing up one of the most brilliant sporting nations in the world. SA people standing together are more powerful than a bunch of rotten politicians. From Ryan in Berlin.
Yeah, that's spot on.
That's about as close as we're getting to politics this morning, though, Ryan. So don't expect us to have a conversation about it from here on in. All right. what's everybody doing this weekend? Because it's now January. The celebrations and the drinking is finished because people's money has run out.
No, it has not. It's Test Cricket weekend.
That's exactly what people are going to be doing this weekend. They've gone in hard at work and they're suffering, man. They're going to let loose this weekend.
You reckon?
Yeah.
And there's always booze left over from the holidays.
Really?
In some corner.
In whose house? What's their address?
Are you heading there straight away?
Yeah.
Where's the Test Cricket been?
At the Wanderers, as of today, Sia. You can go and drink for probably 3.5 to 4 days.
Wow.
It's quite a binge.
Almost, a lot of drinking.
Even by my standards.
I'm not saying you have to do every day, but yeah. Test cricket is still one of the best places to drink beer in the whole world.
There's one of our fans called Jonathan who's arrived with some coffee for everybody, and we get him in here. Let's bring him in and find out what he's up to.
Oh, that's cool.
Very nice.
Experience Friday is coming back.
No.
It's just normal coffee, trust me.
No, don't.
A little bit of fun going on. Oh, yeah, come in here, Jonathan. Time. It's cool. And then just because it's a new year, maybe you're a new you this year. You want to start in the right way? Well, you can escape to an award-winning spa in the heart of Rivonia, Johannesburg. Skin Sense Day Spa hosts a comprehensive range of expert beauty treatments for men and women. This month's back-to-school specials include some goodies for moms and kids. Whatever you're looking for, and however much or little precious me time you have, you'll find the perfect solution at Skin Sense Day Spa. You can find out more by going to cliffcentral.com. And you've been there, Ben.
I can say my fiance swears by it. She gets her lashes done there regularly.
She
used to go elsewhere for her lashes, but she swears by that place.
Ah.
Yeah.
And you've been there, Leanne?
Yeah, but years ago. Since it opened, I've loved it.
I have a little crick in the neck. I should maybe go for a massage.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Time in January. This is a good time to do it. So go to Skin Sense here in Rivonia, and you can tell them we sent you.
And the people are nice.
Very nice people.
And they're not just like washed-out women who come and be massaging for 30 years and have calloused hands.
They're really nice people. Hey, Jonathan, how are you, dude?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Where have you just come from?
I just came from a coffee place. It's a little dream of mine, actually, to come past here.
Well, it's nice to have you. Crew. Nice to have you in the studio. Wow,
you got some triple shot cafe lattes.
Hot coffee.
So, where do you listen to us usually? Where have you been for the last year or so?
3 years. I live overseas.
Yeah.
Moved to Israel.
Very good.
Started working that side, but this is my little taste of home.
What kind of work do you do there?
Security.
Very good.
Studying political as well.
Wow, dude.
But
I suppose there's no better place to study security, because if you live in Israel, you realize that all the neighboring countries just want you dead.
Very true. Yeah. This is the life we choose.
Yeah, but Israel's fascinating. I've got to go there. I've been invited a few times and I just haven't got around to it, but it's on my list of priorities. It's definitely one of the places I want to visit, not just from the point of view that I'm a history student and I love the fact that it's one of the most ancient and most interesting places in the world, but the
the new things about Israel almost even more sexy than that, because it is a technological and innovation hub. Mm-hmm. There are people solving the world's problems over there. If our stupid government here in South Africa just listened to the Israelis, we could have solved all the water crises that happened in the Cape over the last year and a half. We would be sorting out problems ahead of them happening in the Eastern Cape, because they're currently going through a drought. I mean, Israel's, it's a strip of desert, dude, between the Mediterranean and these very hostile Middle Eastern countries. There's not a lot going on there, and they've built this extraordinary successful nation.
It's very true. It is one of the startup capitals of the world. Yeah. Waze, a lot of Google runs on there.
That's right.
Facebook technology started up there.
Do you use Waze when you travel? Because that's my favorite app for getting anywhere. Directions are better. They tell you about traffic. It's brilliant.
They tell you about speed cameras and actual police presence as well. Using a lot of the holidays. It's just amazing. That's
exactly right.
It's a beautiful place. It's Tel Aviv. There's Eilat, which is like Miami.
Now, Eilat's down in the south. It's on the Red Sea.
Correct.
Right. And Eilat's right in the apparently bottom. It's beautiful, beautiful place.
And it's a tax-free city. There's zero tax. You go there, you can spend your money, and you stay in the hotels. Everything's beautiful. There's
you don't pay tax?
Zero, zero, zero tax on this the is whole like, this entire
is,
place.
This is heaven.
Sure. Yeah. That's the place to smoke and drink.
Give her a coffee, please.
And weed, I don't know if it's legal in Israel like it is in South Africa, but it's certainly part of the culture just as much as it is in, I don't know, in Amsterdam. So,
oh, really?
It's like the unspoken thing there. You go there, you sit wherever you are in a restaurant, and everyone just smokes weed.
That's weird, because a lot of people will say, oh, no, but Israel's this quite conservative place, because they think of it as, you know, they think of the conservative religious people in Israel. But actually, it's a secular country where there happen to be millions of people who are not necessarily religious. It's a very open-minded society. They have things like gay pride there.
Sure.
It's a very interesting place.
I attended the gay pride parade mm-hmm. in Tel Aviv.
How was that?
It was intense. It was like an unbelievable experience. People from all over the world come down, and it's a party for one long week.
Amazing.
Every night.
Now, what are those very attractive women who are in the army? Everybody's fantasy.
You see them the moment you get to the airport, they're there with guns.
These beautiful, beautiful girls who are conscripted into the... Because everyone has to do service, right?
Correct. From the age of 18.
Have you done yours?
I did mine. I just actually finished last month. I did 2.5 years.
I want to know all about that in a second, but let's talk about the women first. They have to do their bit.
Every woman has to do their bit. Every woman goes through basic training.
What sort of things do they have to do?
They can handle weapons.
So
they can... Do all the basic training that the men do. And then what happens in the army is they also figure out what your particular skill set is. And if you are, let's say, someone who's really good at...
Social media?
No, not really. This is the army. This is serious. So they look at things like, for example, if you would be better off in strategic stuff or in intelligence stuff, or, you know, you can help them in their... They're more comprehensive programs, or they're more specific programs. Basically, you get deployed into parts of the military which actually improve your skill set as well.
Well, as much as you're right, Gareth, I have to agree with the nice lady over here at the same time. The mm-hmm. army is very, very broad. While there are combat roles for women, there are non-combat roles as well. Like she said, social media.
Really? There's a social media department?
There's an entire department for social media run just by 19-year-old women.
Yeah, it makes sense. Let me call that cyber... crap that's going on nowadays. And look how ISIS grooms things, people through Twitter.
Good
these
point.
Terror cells are very active in these places.
I apologize, Leanne.
Yeah, you see.
Lucky you weren't in the Israeli army right now. You would have pulled out your gun and taught me who's boss. So when you were in, what did you do? What kind of stuff did you do?
I was in a combat unit that specialized in urban warfare.
Wow.
We mainly specialized in working around villages, things like that.
Yeah.
I was on the Syrian border, giving humanitarian aid through Syria, through the border.
What's that like? Because Syria is just that a disaster intense. At the moment, right?
Yeah. Back when I was on the Syrian border.
Yeah, when you're on the border, I mean, can you actually hear the shit going on the other side?
There's a little mountain somewhere, I'm not going to say where, but you can certainly see if you're standing on it. You can certainly see, you can see the smoke, you can hear the AKs.
Oh my God.
It's a disaster. It's really, it's a very sad, sad story.
And there are people just pouring across all of those borders because they're desperate to get out of that place.
Yeah.
There are, what, millions and millions of people on the Turkish border at the moment. They've already crossed into parts of Turkey. And
it's been like that for a couple of years now.
Yeah, it's just, it's awful. But I'm fascinated by Israel. So, I mean, we'll probably ask you a few more questions.
You can ask away.
It is, like the diversity from...
You've been there, Ben.
Yeah, north to south, the beaches, the whole coastline. I mean, you're on the Mediterranean. But you got the history.
Mm.
And just like, when you go to Jerusalem, it is just such a... Wow.
It was my gran's favorite place. She went to Israel 4 times.
Wow.
And not many other places. She absolutely loved it.
I think religious or not, or historian or not, is like there's something in Israel for everyone.
Yeah.
Whether you just like the beach, or you want the quiet, or you want the history, or you want to go to Jerusalem, or Tel Aviv, or Eilat, or everything in between, there's definitely something there for everyone. The food as well, it's definitely like, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, there's so many cultures.
The original bowl of hummus. It's
Wow. See, have you got any desire to go? I'm sure you do, right? You probably want to head over there.
Hmm? Oh, use this. This is still buzzing. Okay. Yeah, maybe. Let's see.
What do you think? I mean, you were obviously born here, right?
Correct.
In South Africa. So what do you think we could learn from Israel? I mean, it's probably a lot that they're doing right that we should be doing.
I think technologically.
Yeah.
To give advancements to everyone. Technologically, Israel is a whole nother league in itself. They take risks, which is where they succeed. But also, I mean, if you want to get political, if you want to get like into the religious department.
What the hell? I mean, we said it's no politics Friday.
Right.
Might be something in it.
Let's not do that then. It's called Friday.
Okay, Michelle says, did Jonathan bring you hummus from the Holy Land? No, he didn't. He brought us coffee this morning.
Large coffees, though.
Very nice.
Very large.
Gareth, the guy you had on about Eskom was great. I was very angry afterwards, but I was glad to hear the truth. Yeah, we had a dude called, what's his name?
Ted Blum
yesterday, that's right. And he came in to tell us all about the real, the depth of the crisis that Eskom's in. And if you want to listen to that podcast, it's really worth 40 minutes of your time.
Yeah.
If you want to understand what's going on at Eskom, my God. Ash says, hey, Gareth, there is a podcast that I think you will love. The End of the World, with a guy called Hosh Clark, talking about the existential risk to humanity. It's like 7 episodes, and he covers everything. Biotech, AI, space travel, all sorts of threats to humanity. You'll love it. Maybe you too, Ben. That's from Ash. I will listen to that.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, I was talking to someone the other day who reckons that Elon Musk is actually trying to save humanity. All of his companies have some big picture idea, except maybe the Boring Company, that are just really about transportation. But
well, that's also saving humanity.
In some way. Yeah. But all the others are about trying to get us off the planet, or trying to make us healthier, or trying to make us better, trying to save us from our own stupidity. And really, the guy is just so far ahead of everyone else, where they're all trying to find commercial successes. This guy is trying to save humanity.
Why? Because he's taking risks. Like you just said, you got to take risks if you want to get somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Preach. All right. Do you want to do the 5 things you need to know? Jonathan, you're welcome to hang around for this too. Let's get into some of the news stories this morning. Well, Canada. What rhymes with Canada?
A and B.
What?
No, cannabis.
Yes, they're big into cannabis.
That's right. They've legalized the recreational use of cannabis since last October, and prices have jumped to $8.02 Canadian dollars per gram from $6.83 Canadian dollars a gram. Statistics Canada said in a news release late on Wednesday, the average price had gone up by 17.4% since legalization of recreational use. 384 price quotes were obtained, and they were almost equally split between illicit deals and legal purchases. The agency noted, however, that the average quantities of weed bought per user from the black market were more than double the amount purchased through licensed retail outfits or government online stores. So even when you legalize things, the free market still works better than government. Are you surprised by this?
Not at all. Not the slightest.
One of the government's stated reasons for legalization was to get cannabis out of the hands of drug traffickers and teenage tokers. Canada has one of the world's highest rates of cannabis use by persons under the age of 18. The data suggested a price drop will be needed to meet those objectives, as legal suppliers charged higher prices than those of illegal suppliers. Well, that's how it works. If I sell a Coca-Cola and Ben sells one at 10 Rand more, I'm going to get more business than Ben. And if I happen to not have a license for the one I sell, you'll still come to me rather than go to Ben, as long as you know the quality of the product is as good.
You mean when you're selling Coke?
Yeah, Coke too. I was saying Coca-Cola, but yes, you get the basic idea. And no, that wasn't an ad for Ben and my new offshoot businesses. All right. In other news, airport employee was suspended after being caught on camera throwing luggage. But that's nothing, because there was another story about a Mr. Delivery dude who pitched up and he made his delivery. Why did you and Jonathan react like that, Sia?
I just cringed.
The video.
What happened?
I don't know.
You tell the story. Watch. I want Sia to cringe again. Tell everybody what happened.
This is what you see on the video. There are seemingly two girls, one who's recording this on video and another who's accepting a delivery from a Mr. Delivery man. And the one girl, and she looks really, really young, I'd say a good lower teenager, walks up to the delivery man, collects her delivery, and as she turns around to walk back into the house, the delivery man just unzips his pants, whips out his pinache, and starts masturbating.
Ooh.
Where was this?
What a plot twist. And talk about the D in delivery. It is just weird. It's
where,
horrible.
Where?
So I think...
Yeah, where do I go to order food like that?
So twisted. It happened in KZN somewhere. And according to what Mr. Delivery has said, they've done an investigation. They've identified this man and they've fired him already.
Oh, that's terrible.
You know how many times I've crapped myself after ordering Mr. Delivery, walking into the house, and already you feel a bit awkward, like, you know, there's someone on your property and it's all. And as you get into the house, your app goes, woohoo! That's what it does when you've received your order. And I almost throw the food into the air because I get such a freaking fright.
From the woohoo.
Yeah.
It goes, woohoo!
Your food has just arrived.
Is that not him finishing masturbating?
Yeah, probably.
Your delivery man is...
Was this caught on video?
Yeah.
I'm curious why she was recording in the first place.
Well,
did she know it was going to happen?
I mean, does this happen before? Does this guy always try and knock one off?
He's a masturbating delivery man.
There was one particular comment that made me think along these lines. Someone thought, perhaps this isn't the first time this person does it. And maybe every time he comes over to this house, it's a regular occurrence. So they thought, this time, let's capture it on video to let the world know.
There's always a bad apple, but this is certainly, you know, what people overreact and then they go, oh, well, you know, Mr. Delivery's got to do something about this. It's a dangerous thing. It's one creep.
Are there people who order food just to watch you masturbate, though?
Maybe that's how it began. He like arrived at someone's house and they said, hey, why don't you just, before you go, Have a quick masturbation session in my garage.
Do you have to order a certain burger for this?
Yeah.
Anyway, so management at OR Tambo are taking action against a baggage handler who was caught on camera carelessly throwing luggage from a carousel. Video has been widely circulating, prompting anger from travelers. Management has condemned the incident. Airports company says... that Bid Air Services has identified the employee who was suspended with immediate effect while the company initiates disciplinary action. There are many employees who work for the airline ecosystem, therefore it's disconcerting when an employee falls short of the standards of the service level agreement. But you expected to hear that from them, right? So it's at the, you know, the carousel there where you pick up your luggage?
Yeah.
So there's I think it's a woman, and she's just basically grabs the bags and just like turfs them. You can hear her throwing them down on the ground. She's like, I hate my job.
Stuff these rich people who travel.
Yeah, she hates her job. She had a long December and she was stuck in the airport, which I can imagine would be annoying. Anyway, she just turfs, but not one bag, about 10. Just throws them down on the ground, and she can't wait to get out of there.
The bags come out as triangles instead of squares.
Yeah.
Why is she taking the bags off, though? Usually people just stand there and take their own bags. Why is she
offloading? Maybe those are the ones that are left behind afterwards. Who knows? But someone recorded it. And this is the point. Whether you're a Mr. Delivery man who likes to jerk off, or you are an airport worker who likes to throw other people's bags around, someone's going to catch you on camera now. You can't escape. Before, you would have hidden your bad behavior, or people would have seen it and then they would have said, oh, well, it's hearsay. We can't prove that the woman was throwing the bags, that the guy was jerking off. Now we can.
Does make it better?
Hey, the first child born in the DRC from an Ebola surviving mother was born.
Hmm. Did it come out all right?
The infant is called Silvana. She's the first documented case in the current outbreak, born to a mother who recovered from the deadly hemorrhagic fever. No, she's fine. There's nothing wrong with her. 4 days old already. A silver lining in the Democratic Republic of Congo's deadly Ebola outbreak. And the infant is the first documented case.
Yeah, take that, Ebola.
Yeah. There have been 335 people who've died from Ebola since the first outbreak. Only 335.
Yeah, I would have thought it was worse.
I mean, obviously, the listeriosis
was more
devastating. There were, yeah, exactly. But there we are. We're all terrified of Ebola. Oh, they managed to put out that fire in the Overstrand, blah, blah, blah. That's finally contained.
So just get back to that. We are terrified of Ebola. We see what it does to your body.
It's awful. Yeah, it does. It turns you into a big soup and you start bleeding out of every orifice. It's awful. You even develop new orifices.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Just goes to show it's more dangerous to eat bologna than to not wash your hands.
Didn't you, when you emailed me, you told me that you worked in like paramedic stuff as well for a while, didn't
you? So that's a funny story. Actually, the first time I ever met you, second time I ever met you, was at Sexpo.
That's right, and you were a paramedic.
I was one of the paramedics there.
At Sexpo.
Can you imagine strippers fall and hit their heads? And
oh, my goodness.
First time in my life. And it was
people with calluses and oh,
you must have seen some pretty gross stuff.
It was definitely the word.
Not from Sexpo, but from being a paramedic.
No, from Sexpo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. A lot of people who can't handle their pain threshold when it comes to flogging, so they just continue.
Are you joking?
So much.
People pass out?
People would pass out. People.
Is that why you need
I have to laugh. I mean,
because I was wondering why you needed a paramedic at Sexpo. And
it's for the flogging.
Clearly.
There's a.
It's for the medieval sex torture.
There's a lot of diseases that go on at Sexpo as well. People who you have to treat to have diseases.
What do you mean?
I don't know if I can get into too many specifics.
Well, you're not going to mention names, well, but yes,
say,
you can.
You can just say allegedly. It's this really great word we use.
Hypothetically, there was a patient who had...
The clap.
And
how does the clap manifest? I've never seen the clap.
If it were to happen, Gareth.
So one of the extreme symptoms or signs is rather the finger, the nails of your toes lift up.
Ooh.
And they're all like 50 shades of yellow. So of course I didn't know this at the time because my boss at the time called me in to treat the patient without me knowing what was going on.
Oh my God, you had gloves, right?
If that's what so it's doing was the thing to your is, toes, come, what is it doing to your vag?
Oh. I didn't look. I chose not to.
Gonorrhea.
So I double gloved and triple gloved. And
so what hypothetically brought on the need to treat this patient? Was it post-flogging, post-dancing?
This person said that she wanted Bactroban on her toes because she had, and this is my favorite, she had ingrown toenail, and the surgeon messed it up, which is why it's all infected.
Oh, okay.
But you can
sense.
Tell. Like,
yeah. Do you want to know something really gross?
Yeah, because up until now, we've been all contained for me.
All right, let's go really gross. This is not for those who are eating their breakfast. Just mute us for 5 seconds. The nickname for the disease gonorrhea, the clap, comes from the noise when back in the Civil War in the US, they would break up the pus buildup by banging the butt of their rifles on the penis that was on a table. Bang, bang, bang. Huh?
How much pus buildup is that?
You are making this up.
No, that's where it comes from.
That Civil War was rough.
Oh, and then just to make you feel a little bit better, the Agriculture Department, and this is our final story for the things you need to know, says interventions are in place to ensure an outbreak of foot and mouth disease in Limpopo is contained.
Well, now we know the clap can affect your toes, so foot and mouth clearly is not,
want that,
is not far from the truth.
The highly contagious foot and mouth disease has put livestock worth millions of rand at risk following reports of contamination in the Mvembe district. 4 of South Africa's neighbors have banned the import of meat, with Zimbabwe becoming the latest to take the precaution. So we've got to be careful. There is an outbreak of foot and mouth disease in our cattle in that part of Limpopo. So there we go. All right. There's some news. It is 17 minutes to 7. Let's check in on the sport with Ben. By the way, Bitcoin is sliding down on its ass again, $3,647, and Ethereum at $128. Ben, what have you got for us today?
Big weekend for the Proteas. Andy Murray cries his way towards retirement, and your big football fixtures for the weekend. this weekend. If you're in the Joburg area, get on down to the Wanderers. Simple as that. It's a beautiful cricket ground, and it's got the Proteas taking on Pakistan in the third and final test match. Now, I know what happens in sports and media is that people always look for headlines, and they talk about things like, oh, it's a dead rubber. Bullshit. There's no such thing as dead rubbers in this sporting thing, right? Every game is a game. You've got the best 11 players in a country taking on the best 11 players from another country. Screw this dead rubber stuff. It's a test match. It means a lot. Faf du Plessis will not be playing this weekend because he's been suspended for a slow over rate. So, you have to look at that. That's just one aspect of it, okay? So Adam Markram also may be not playing, but it's okay. We've got Zubair Hamza.
Mm-hmm.
I think I actually like that. Zubair Hamza, okay? Yeah. So this guy, he's done bloody well domestically. Fantastic record. He is an up-and-coming batsman looking to take the place of Faf du Plessis in the lineup. Okay. And then I think Peter Malan is also on standby for Adam Markram. Okay. We'll find out today at 10 o'clock if those players are going to be in the mix. But yeah, Pakistan has still got a decent side. They've still got a good bowling lineup. The batting lineup just needs to click, and this game can be very competitive. Mickey Arthur, of course, had a big bitch about the pitches. And if you are going to bitch about a pitch, then the Wanderers is something you really got to watch out for, because that was a spicy, fiery, treacherous deck against the Indians. So much so that, well, there was... came so close to the Wanderers actually not being able to host international cricket after that pitch was presented. It was so dodgy. So I think this pitch will be a lot safer. But being the Wanderers, it'll still be pretty fast, still be pretty lively. Make for a terrific game of Test cricket. 10 o'clock Friday today. And of course, the game will probably take 3.5 to 4 days from here. So that's it. Get on down there. Enjoy. The sun is finally out in Johannesburg if you are in the area.
Okay.
So get the last bit of summer. It's such a great place. I'm so looking forward to it. I'm going today and I'm going Sunday. I love it. It's that good. The Proteas, of course, are also gearing up for their World Cup. It's World Cup year 2019. And they have announced their squad to take on Pakistan. So Faf du Plessis will return as captain. Hashim Amla is back. Quinton de Kock and Reeza Hendricks, that shows what firepower is at the top of the order. Then Imran Tahir, he is still playing cricket. He's about 73 years old, but he's still got what it takes. Henrik Claassen, the wicketkeeper come batsman, who played so well against India. He's there. David Miller's always good. Dan Patterson returns, as does, well, not returns, but Rusty van der Dissen is a new face in the lineup. I mean, this guy was so good in the Mzansi Super League playing for the Jersey Stars. He just seemed like it was men against boys when he was batting. He was just that much better than everyone else. Sure, he is quite long in the tooth. He's in his 30s, but I think this is a guy who just, like, the Aussies used to have really good guys who just peaked in their 30s. I think Rusty van der Dissen is one of those prime examples. Andile Petlokwai is there, as well as Dwayne Pretorius, Khagisa Rabada, and Tabrias Shamsi. That is a bloody good side. To think of the kind of quality that's not in this team right now, that is a great ODI squad. So that 14 players will be refined slightly for the matches, and they'll be taking place in PE on the 19th of Jan, Durban on the 22nd, which means it will rain on the 22nd. The 25th will be in Centurion. The 27th will be in Johannesburg at the Wanderers, the best ODI ground in the world. And then 30th, the final, the 5th and final ODI will be in Cape Town, which is always very, very nice. Day-night matches all around, except for the Wanderers, which is a daytime game on the 27th. In other cricket news, Australia are so desperate to try and not be shit, they are using an 80s-styled one-day kit, because back then they were decent. They've gone retro in their one-day kit. Just to try so hard to remember the glory days back when their players were actually not completely useless. Now, in other cricket news, Hardik Pandya and KJ, or some acronym, KL Rahul, yes, they're in big trouble because they are sexist, misogynistic pricks. They were on this talk show recently.
Yes.
And Hardik Pandya in particular was just saying that he throws the D around left, right and center.
Oh, really?
What's his name? Hardik?
Hardik Pandya, yeah. On a show called Coffee with Karan.
But if you're going to be a misogynist, it's good to have a name like Hardik.
Yeah, but he was just so brazenly all misogynistic and just talking about how the fact he tells his parents how he's basically put in the wood to every girl around India
at least
the moment.
Telling his parents. Most people are ashamed.
Yeah, well, he is. And he says, you know, he's from the dark side. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was all kind of broken into English. He's from the dark side. So when he goes to the nightclubs, he likes to watch girls move first before he talks to them.
That's polite.
Or predates on them, however way you want to look at it.
Yes.
So the BCCI, they say this is unbecoming of their Indian cricketers, and they are looking to be suspended. So Hardik and Rahul, they will be suspended for about 2 games. for their misogynistic ways.
Shame.
So just because you're a cricketer doesn't mean you can go and act like this in public. Let it be known, kids. If you want to get into something misogynistic, rather stick to investment banking. It's a much more sort of wider spread place for that sort of behavior. Cricket, they don't want it anymore.
Yes.
It's just not cricket.
It's just not cricket, Leanne. Treat women with respect, even if your name is Hardik Pandya.
And legally change your name to Hardik.
Yeah. I mean, if you go into a nightclub and you start off with, "Hi, I'm Hardik," you're throwing a vibe, whether you like it or not. I mean, you could be a gentleman after that. It's out there.
All intentions aside,
my name's Hardik. Andy Murray. We all know he is a Scottish man and used to be very good at tennis. Then he got a hip injury.
Yes, a Scottish man with a mum who kind of forced him into tennis even if he didn't want to. And then
probably whipped him into it with sore hip and all.
Right.
Andy's having a tough time right now. He actually broke down in front of the press yesterday. Not in like a physical sense because he's done that already, but emotionally he just broke down.
Uh-huh.
He had a bit of a kick around with Novak Djokovic and he was very much off the pace. And he said, "Look, I haven't recovered from this hip injury. I can't seem to be the player I used to be. And this will probably be my last ever Aussie Open." So the Aussie Open takes place from the 14th to the 27th of January. It's the first Grand Slam of the year. And Andy says he would love to get to Wimbledon and retire then. But he says, "I'm so fucked.
I can't do it.
Shame.
I just can't do it." And for a guy like that to swear. Okay, that was me. Sorry. I often get confused between me and Andy Murray.
I've got only one thing to say, really. I'm so fucked.
He is. He's 31, okay? So yeah. He is going, obviously, these are the final years of his career, but he hasn't. So this hip injury has been so terrible for Andy.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a couple of years now. The guy was world number one. He was unbeatable at one stage. He was like the poor man's version of Novak Djokovic, only he just had a bigger work ethic. And he really was. He got 3 Grand Slam titles. But he's been in pain for, he says, over 20 months now. And he says what's going to happen is he has to go for a different kind of surgery, which will make retirement more manageable, basically. So you got to feel for him because all he's done is tennis, right? I know Gareth always gives sports people a hard time in that if it wasn't for sport, they'd be cleaning streets. But when it comes down to it, this has been your life and suddenly you're robbed of this. So you got to spare a thought for Andy because I tell you what, his mother was probably giving him zero sympathy.
No, she's so
that woman's hard as a
goat. Why aren't you on the tennis court? What's wrong with you?
That woman's as rough as a goat's knee. She's probably given him zero sympathy in the last 20 months, exasperating the pain. So thoughts and prayers with Andy.
You're meant to be earning money.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the Scots are, they're quite tight. And quickly into the football for the weekend. Jose Mourinho has been linked with Real Madrid again, but that's a very tired story. I mean, Jose Mourinho is becoming like the Jake White of football. It's like he's now been going through so many different teams. The guy's a bit of a has-been, I think, as well, because he's got a face like a smacked ass, and a lot of players don't respect that kind of stuff anymore. They want a guy like Jurgen Klopp, who will give them hugs and high fives and have nice hair and stuff. But this weekend in the English Premier League, West Ham versus Arsenal at 2:30. That's your first match on the Saturday. And then we've got other big games. Brighton will be hosting Liverpool, high-flying Liverpool, at 5 o'clock. And then Chelsea will take on Newcastle at home at 7:30. On the Sunday, we've got Spurs versus Man United. Massive game this because Spurs still believe they're in the title race. I still believe it's Liverpool and Man City two-horse race, but Spurs are there. Not too many points behind, and they'll be taking on Man United, a resurgent Man United under Frodo at 6:30. And then on Monday, Man City will be hosting Wolves. That'll be at 10 o'clock. And in the PSL, we got Black Leopards versus Supersport United on Saturday at 3:30. Mm-hmm. Cape Town City versus Baroka. AmaZulu versus Highlands Park. And then on Sunday, we've got just the one match. That's Bloom Celtic versus Golden Arrows. And that is pretty much it for your sport this weekend. There is some golf in Hawaii, but that's because it's so far west. I mean, who stays up that late?
No one.
Absolutely.
Even in Hawaii, they probably...
Absolutely no one. But it's a star-studded field if you're into that. So if you have insomnia or you just don't like sleeping, you can watch the golf in... I forgot the name. There's lots of consonants in those Hawaiian names.
Yiga Linga Waka Laka Laka.
It's the Sony Open.
Ooga Wooga Dooga Dooga.
Let's go with that. All right, that's your sport for
very
week.
Good, thank you. It's over to the star of the song, It's You, Sia Sangweni now, for a look at what's going on in inspirational news. Take it away, Sia.
It started on the day I met myself this way. I saw you standing there, and I thought, my, you were the one for me. I was the one for you. My heart was never the same. It's you, it's true. It's you, it's true.
We never really got up to that point before. We usually cut it later. Very nice. All right, Sia. Well, there's your song. Now, inspire
us. That is really pleasant to the ears. Folks, have you heard about Fortnite?
Yeah, it's
the online game.
Yeah.
For some people, it is life, basically.
You're quite accurate by saying it's life.
Thank you.
Because
thank you very much.
Some people have these hours on end spending just playing the game. Some people for 24 hours straight. So one of the most...
Anybody here play it?
No. And no hands in the room. No. One of the most popular Fortnite players, his name is Benjamin Lupo, but he goes by the username Dr. Lupo, decided to take his obsession for the game and do some good with it. Uh-huh. So he basically challenged his followers, and by the way, he has 2.8 million followers on an online gaming platform called Twitch.
And by the way, people will go on and just watch him for hours.
That's what I don't get. I understand playing it for a stretch of time, but just observing other people playing it for a stretch of time
people,
as well.
People log on their computers and watch him play.
Well, it's either that or masturbating over girls who ordered burgers. So, I mean...
Yeah, that's true. So maybe we should be pleased.
To be healthier. Well, he challenged his 2.8 million followers to pay some money every so often to rally behind him, to spur him on to spend more hours playing the game. In total, he played for 24 hours on his live stream, and through that, he was able to raise $611,000 that he's now decided to donate straight to charity. Fans who donated money during what he called #BuildAgainstCancer 24-hour live stream on Twitch were rewarded with making Fortnite choices for Lupo as he played, so that's quite a thing for gamers, and these incentives helped him bring in the more than $500,000 amount raised. And these were, by the way, people in more than 85 different countries who contributed to this. So Dr. Lupo says that giving back has always been a huge part of who he is, and ever since he started getting such a massive following on Twitch, he realized what a platform he has, and more than that, what he could do about it. So he's decided to donate the money to St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital that's based in California, and they've been going since 1962, and they take care of a lot of children who have a wide variety of diseases, but particularly leukemia and other forms of cancers. So hey, I always say, do what you can with what you have, wherever you are. And if you are a gamer and you realize your audience that you have, well, why not? Look at Dr. Lupo, and he's been able to raise $611,000, and he's donating that to cancer and cancer research.
Well,
I think that's cool.
That's very, very cool. Some fascinating statistics from Pornhub, who, you know, publish their results every year of what people are really watching on the internet. Because everybody goes, oh, no, I'm researching for my thesis, but actually what they're doing is just going onto Pornhub and looking up dodgy, dirty, very retrograde categories of porn. So they publish this every year, and one of the categories that has gone sky high is Fortnite porn. Apparently what they do is they recreate the animated characters from Fortnite and they put them in porno situations. And people are loving that. It's one of the most popular categories and a new entry in the top 10 on Pornhub this year. Aren't you proud of us as humans? Aren't you proud of where we're at? We're doing so well. It's just great.
You porn?
No, Pornhub.
Pornhub?
Yeah.
I think I'm gonna
you prefer you porn?
No, I think I'm going to have to see what this fuss is all about.
Well, you should. I mean, you got to be paying attention to this stuff. Absolutely. Right, Leanne? I mean, you check out Pornhub every week.
Excuse me.
Oh, what a rude
I'm
noise.
I'm back. I'm back in the room.
Sorry. Well, don't you check it out all the time?
YouPorn is what I tend to watch.
Okay. All right. Well, there we go. At least you're honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know really which one is better. There's also RedTube, which is popular.
Yeah.
But those are the only ones I can think of right now.
I used to watch that, and then Damon started watching it, so I had to change. I didn't want us to have the same headspace, really.
All right, when we come back, we'll hit some of the stories that are going on in the world, some of the stuff everybody's talking about, and the latest on who's the richest woman in the world.
Oh, I know.
Don't tell us.
No, it's not you, Leanne, but good guess. All right, so hang on for that and more. CliffCentral.com, Friday morning. It's Feel Good Friday.
This is CliffCentral.com.